Daily on KFH.
Mornings at KFH, we enjoy a great cup of coffee from Prairie Fire Coffee. I know Mr. Savage has his in hand as we speak. Always appreciate them keeping us fueled up, not only at KFH, but the entire Odyssey family of stations. By the way, we talked to K-State. You've got K-State Wildcat football talk show tonight, the Chris Klieman Coaches Show. That is tonight. Should be an interesting one after the loss to Houston. That'll be at 7 o'clock right here on KFH. It follows the Chiefs Kingdom Show at 6 o'clock. You can also catch all of that on the Odyssey app. As we get you ready for a weekly visit with our KU insider, Shreyas Latta here, it is a busy time. We welcome in Shreyas. And, you know, Shreyas, as you get settled there, we'll just sort of open things up. We've got a busy time of the year. Do you feel like, Shreyas, that we have transitioned to basketball season now, the way the football season's gone? So we have the opener and we got a North Carolina game on Friday. What do you think people are more fired up about? KU North Carolina on Friday or in basketball, or KU hosting Iowa State on Saturday in football?
Is that even a question? Come on. It's basketball season. It's basketball season. This KU team is sixth. Oh, so make a bowl game. It's basketball season. No one cares. It is.
Well, listen. KU, so here's what's interesting to me about KU football the rest of the way. They can play. I mean, you want to talk about the opportunity to play spoiler here. Iowa State, BYU, Colorado, they can be a thorn in the side of the Big 12. Like, K-State fans right now ought to be the biggest KU fans the rest of the way.
Yeah.
Because KU can help them a great deal. Most notably, when we look at the Big 12 standings, if they can beat Colorado. Because K-State can still control it with Iowa State. BYU, they're kind of toast unless BYU absolutely falls apart. It's Colorado all of a sudden that they need to lose again. Here's KU for Colorado. You know, that's so I think there's still some meat on the bone there. It's kind of, but you got to kind of be, you just want KU to kind of be the jerks of the league, I think, if you're a Jayhawk fan right now, and ruin everybody's holidays.
I mean, I think that's, you know, that's a sentiment I see on Twitter, right? Kansas State fans are turning into KU fans for a little bit, like, because they know they're seeing hinges on a little bit of KU magic. And I think it's going to be a really interesting matchup against Iowa State. You know, we know historically the Cyclone fans are the biggest, I think, road-traveled fans of the Big 12.
Oh, yeah.
And in this matchup where they're right next to Kansas and the fact that they are going to be playing Arrowhead, I really think it's going to be fascinating to see how many people show up, because this could probably be the most populated KU game, or really fan-filled KU game in Arrowhead, I think, all year. If Kansas pulls off this upset, obviously, you know, Iowa State lost to Texas Tech, so they lost a little bit of luster there. But if Kansas pulls off the upset against a good Iowa State team, I think that's a really good indication of maybe there is some signs of hope for the rest of the season. Right. I just, you know, it's hard to see them going 4-0 the rest of the way. They haven't beaten Baylor at Waco, by the way, which ends their season, ever. They're 0-10 all time. So historically, it trends-wise, it's not a great end of the season look for KU football. But, you know, I really think if this is a turnaround of the season, it starts Saturday, and it starts with a definitive win against the Cyclones on Saturday. If KU football wants eyeballs on the rest of the season, it starts by winning on Saturday.
You know, Shreyas, I love you to death. You know, I really enjoy every time we get you on. I really do. I'm one of your big fans. I want you to know that. But you're a week too soon on the way you're playing this out. Well, oh my gosh, it's basketball because, you know, nobody cares about football. Well, let me tell you this. You know what Coach Leipold's saying in the locker room right now to this team? Here's what he's saying. You guys want to be legends? You guys want to be remembered forever? You guys want to make a mark on college football? You go out and you beat Iowa State. You beat BYU. You beat Colorado. You beat Baylor. You're capable of doing it. And you beat them. You go to a bowl. You become a legend. because everybody said it can't be done. Now, if they go out and get blown out by Iowa State, I'm buying what you're selling. I am buying, buy. But I'm not buying it right now, Sharice. Not yet. No, there's still four games. You lose to Iowa State, I'm with you, buddy. But, man, I'll tell you what. There's a chance for this team to be a legend. Jacob, you like legends, don't you?
I do. I like Paul's coach speak, too. But it's I think there's something to it. But it has to start now. Like these, you know, another close loss doesn't matter anymore. And I guess then it becomes, wait, look, we saw Iowa State last week. I love Tech in that game. I'll sit here today and I would tell you that I absolutely think that KU's best game can beat Iowa State. I don't think there's any question about that. They're at home. It's a 2.5-point spread, people. 2.5 points. That's it. KU on their best day can beat Iowa State. Is that not enough? Do you think they can, Trias?
I definitely think they can. My optimism doesn't extend past this week, though. I don't think the,
That's right.
Guys, I came into the season think they'd win 11 games.
Right.
And the other side of it, where I think they're not going to win four games in a row. I just don't see it. Maybe they will, but they haven't put together three straight games where they look like a good team. And they have games. They lose in the same fashion every single time. We've had this conversation how many times? Yep. Kansas was in a position to win. Then they came to the fourth quarter. They blew a lead. And they lost in the last 2 minutes of the game. How many times are we going to see it before we say they are what they are? I don't believe in them because they haven't given me anything to show that they should be believed in. Okay? Right now, Kansas' season hinges on beating on Iowa State, a team that is, all accounts of record, a better team than Kansas. Even if they're more talent than Iowa State does, it doesn't matter because it hasn't showcased itself all season. They've won, what, one conference game so far this year? One? In the bottom of the conference, everyone thought they'd be a top five team at worst. Okay? You know, to me, Kansas' entire ability to turn it around, I wouldn't be surprised if they beat Iowa State. I'd be surprised if they beat Colorado, if they beat Baylor, if they beat BYU. Me, that is the hardest possible thing they can do. They haven't consistently been able to put it together all this year. And you know what's going to end up happening is they're going to have a win against Saturday against Iowa State. KU fans are going to be excited, and they're going to go get blown out against Colorado. That's what's going to end up happening because that's, you know, what the season has been like for Kansas. No consistency week in, week out. And they've come out of bye weeks looking better than what they are, but then they don't hold it for the rest of the way.
Yeah, look, I think we're putting the cart way before the horse. It's become interesting now in the Big 12 standings more than anything else that KU, based on the schedule, is in a position to be this great spoiler of the league. And so we'll watch it. And they play on Saturday, but it is basketball season. I did lead you in on that for a reason, because I do think people are fired up. Look, I don't know what to make of Howard. I think that, though, as we look at KU right now, we're seeing what we want to see, right? Like, this is what you want to see. You saw them make half their threes. That was a problem last year. We're seeing that this team, in some form or fashion, is going to have depth. It looks like at every level, with Flory Badunga looking, I think, probably way ahead of schedule. So, you know, it's a game against Howard with a big one looming, but this is looking positive for the number one team in the country.
You know, I think that's a great point you made about the threes thing. I think for me, in these early season games, I don't really care too much about the result. Obviously matters. But trends, I think trends are a better indicator of what Kansas basketball can be or cannot be. Last year, we knew from game one that they were going to struggle with shooting threes because they went, 6 of 29 or something? Exhibition game. Then they didn't hit threes, I think, in most of non-con play besides a select few games. To me, this Kansas team, on paper and in actuality, I think it is a good amount better than last year.
Yeah,
I don't know how much that means in the sense of winning the Big 12 Conference because it's too far and too early to think about. But I think, you know, you go into this Friday game against UNC, a team that struggled against Elon. You know, you come out there with a commanding victory. If you're a Kansas fan, you feel good. You feel good because it's a good start to the season, and you're doing exactly what you need to do. But more importantly, there are certain trends that I think Kansas can showcase to me that gives them long-term confidence. It's about shooting threes, making threes, attempting threes. Those three things, they do that, you know, that is a long-term indicator of their tournament success. Bill Self teams, historically, the ones that have won, have got to shoot more threes. They've done it in the years they've won. And the, even like the year that, you know, 2022, I believe it was, they still were, I think, top, you know, 200 in three-point attempts. The last few years, you know, they haven't been top 300. Last year, I think they were near the, like, late 200s. So that's a great indicator in college basketball of long-term success is, can you attempt and make enough threes to win games? And I think this UNC team is a, you know, a team that's beatable. They have three really good guards, some of the best in the nation. But I think, you know, Kansas can go out there and really assert their dominance with Hunter Dickinson getting back to his, I think, usual self, back from injury. And like you said, Laurie looks good. I think it's going to be a really good test against UNC. I think they don't have a – I wrote a story about it today, but, you know, Bill remains cautiously optimistic about Laurie. I asked him, you know, if you think that the, you know, hook shot he showcased and that kind of post-spin move he did against Howard, is it good? And he's like, that's great confidence-boosting plays, but they don't really mean anything. And I kind of agree with that sentiment because Howard doesn't really mean anything. No disrespect whatsoever to Howard.
Sure.
But it's like they haven't played anybody and they don't have anybody to match up with Florey. But I think the archetype that Florey Benunga is very exciting. A rim-running, rim-protecting big man that Kansas has lacked, I think, for a long, long time.
All right, Shreyas, I'm going to make you put on your your projection hat. And yeah. 9 out of the next 11 games, all right, it's like a killer's list. It's North Carolina, Michigan State, Duke, Creighton, Missouri, North Carolina State before you get into the Big 12 play. That's a heck of a run right there. That's a really tough schedule. How many games do you predict KU, and by the way, because I think these are important games to get KU where it needs to be, particularly in the days of the portal nowadays, you know, to get kids where they're playing with each other, everybody's got somebody new. But 9 out of the next 11 games, those are tough games. Where will KU be? Where does KU need to be, more importantly? Wins and losses out of those 9 really good basketball teams that they'll be facing.
Ideally, you come out of that stretch with 2 losses, or I think.
2, okay.
You know, looking at probably a loss between, you know, Duke, UNC, and Michigan State. One of those. I guess they'll lose one of those, you know, if I was a betting man. And then you might have another loss just kind of because you don't fall or something happens or injuries or whatever. But I think, you know, they should, you know, on paper, be the favorite in most of these games, if not all of them. I think the only game that I'd be curious to see if they're a favorite or not is Duke. And I guess that depends on how they look the rest of the year. I mean, you know, up to that point when they play in Vegas. But, you know, I really do think they should come out of this stretch with less than 2 losses if they are what everyone thinks they are.
I want to go back to 3. Shreyas Lada joining us, KC Star, beat reporter for KU football and basketball. We're talking hoops. I want to go back to the 3s for a second. They took 22. Most of those are coming from Zeke Mayo, to be expected. He took 8 of them. Rylan Griffin took 4 of them. Coit took 3. So it's really kind of Mayo taking the lead on that. I'm curious to know what Bill Self wants. Last night, K-State played, and we've seen now K-State shoot a ton of them, and we've seen Jerome Tang basically be perfectly happy with them shooting a ton of them. Where do you think Bill Self wants the 3-point shot with this group? Zeke Mayo and the rest? Like, does he want others shooting a lot of threes? What's the number that they're going to be comfortable with, do you think?
Well, I think Diggy needs to take more threes. I think, you know, I think he only took 3.
Yeah, I think it was 2 or 3. Yeah,
3. He needs to take more threes. You're hoping Rylan is a better 3-point shooter than he showcased on Monday night, which he is. We've seen it in his stats in his 2 years at Alabama. I think he's taking 8 threes is modern basketball. You need him to do it. You need it. It's perfect. I think Bill said it, you know, they have a team where they hope they can shoot 40% from three or as near close to it. And I think that's really in the realm of possibility with this Kansas team. I guess you're hoping for guys like AJ Storr to figure out their shooting. DeJuan Harris to take open threes when needed. Obviously, Jamari McDowell is redshirting this year, so he doesn't really factor in the equation. But, you know, just these couple of guys, I think there is a surplus of threes that they can still make, right? Like, we're going to expect Hunter to probably make a three a game this coming year. We're probably expecting AJ to kind of hit a three a game, maybe a three and a half a game. It's going to be interesting to see how the numbers look as we get closer and closer to conference play. And obviously, you know, I don't think the way they're defended by UNC is going to be any closer to the way they're defended by Howard. So the threes won't come as easily. But Zeke May was taking a lot of threes in rhythm with people on him and draining them. I think he's going to be such a tremendous kind of addition to the squad. And Diggy, you know, as much as he'll play, I think he's going to have to just come out there and go bombs away. You want a guy who can come off the bench and go bombs away. And they have two guys who can do that, I think, this year.
Talk a little about play in the paint, if you don't mind. I mean, this was a game last night. It's hard to put a figure on, you know Howard University and the difficulty within that particular game, and particularly within the paint. But seven blocks by the University of Kansas, out rebounding Howard by eight. Talk a little about play in the paint. How important is that going to be to the University of Kansas? And what do you foresee? Who's going to be that one guy? Is it going to be Hunter Dickinson? Who's going to be the one guy that makes the difference in the paint?
Well, I think it's Hunter and Flory, honestly. Flory is a tremendous rim protector. Ryland Griffin told me, and media did, that he's probably the best rim protector he's played with. He compared him to some of his Alabama teammates who were on that you know, Final Four team, I think, that made that run. And I think that's meant, you know, as he gets better, as Flory gets better at playing college basketball, and, you know, he did a great job of not fouling the 17 minutes he played, but I think he's going to get better and better on the defensive end as he gets more comfortable. And the offensive end, you know, it's a clear-cut thing. Kansas playing with pace is going to lead to easy paint points, and that's where they have a massive advantage in guys like KJ Adams and Flory Badunga, because they are going to end up getting a lot of easy dunks by just running up and down the floor. I think that's the way this Kansas team needs to play, is with pace, with franticness. You can't play at a slow enough pace. Like, because if you look at it, Hunter's probably the only person that shouldn't be running up and down the court with a ferocity. That lineup is built for playing run and gun basketball. And, you know, I think it's going to lead them to be a better team on the offensive end by running up and down the court. And I think it's something that Zeke Mayo alluded to, that they want to play in transition because they have such a massive advantage there. Teams don't have a KJ Adams. Teams don't have a DeJuan Harris or, you know, Zeke Mayo. Guys who are really good in transition and can end up changing and flipping games all the way around because of their ability to transition and get paint points. Like, that paint point advantage was 2-1, 40-20 against Howard. Obviously, Howard is not a team that really matters in the long grand scheme of things, but it's a positive trend that if you're a Kansas fan, you hope to see as much as a 10-15 point advantage in the paint for them to win games.
Shreyas has an article right now up just in the last hour on Flory Badunga, his role there. You can go to the KC Star, check that out. Follow Shreyas on X as well, at SHRE98. Enjoy it. It is a fun time of year. The crossover is fun. It's not football like we thought, but it is an enjoyable time of the year to get both college football and college basketball.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, guys.
There goes Shreyas Lotta, our KU insider. You can go back and watch and listen to his full interview on the Odyssey app, as you always can. So coming up in hour number two, we'll reset here a little bit. I want to get to the NFL trade deadline. One move made that the Chiefs were in on, they didn't get done. I think of absolute interest in the things that are happening across the league. So we'll talk about the NFL trade deadline, how many teams got a lot better in that trade deadline. Coming up top of next hour, Kevin Saul joins us for his regular visit here on Sports Daily. A lot to get to with Wichita State Athletic Director. We'll have that for you as we make our way to it. Let's do our HTO giveaway here on the way out of hour number one. It's a text to win contest, and you can get involved. You can win some free iced tea, 25 plus flavors of sweet and unsweet iced tea, including the all new peach cobbler. The seasonal flavor is back for tea. And then on the coffee side, featuring Free Reign Coffee, you can get your iced and hot favorites. You can get one of each of these, and that features the new Peppermint Mocha, Paul, iStore hot. Whoa. It's very popular right now. If you're into getting festive a little early, you can check that out. All you got to do to win a tea and a coffee is text the keyword TTEA to the short code 20357. T20357. You can enter once per day. Message and data rates apply. Good luck, everybody. We're coming right back. Kevin Saul joins the program next on Sports Daily.